it.
We put them all together. First of all, in Matthew chapter 2, you think now just why this is a message about Christmas being the time for the old, the hopeless, and the faithful. First of all, chapter 2, just the first three verses, and you'll see why in a moment. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. We thought Christmas was a time of joy. Here is the king and all Jerusalem, and when they hear about the birth of the Messiah, it says, when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, turn to chapter 19. Verse 48. And Jesus said to them, "Verily I say unto you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And look at verse 30. "But many shall be last that are first, and first that are last." Now, let's look at a portion in Luke. Luke chapter 1, first of all. Verse 13. Remember that this is Zechariah. And let me read you a little bit about him for the background. Look at verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years." Now, let's look at verse 13. The angel comes and he says to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, because thy supplication is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Now, look at verse 39. "And Mary arose in these days, and went into the hill country of the priest, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, 'Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And since it is to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me. For behold, when the voice of thy salvation, thy salutation, came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord.'" Now in chapter 2, our Savior has been born, and let's see some of the outcome. Starting at verse 25, he's brought into the temple, and it says in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, that they might do concerning him after the custom of the law, Then he received him into his arms, and blessed God, and said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart, Lord, according to thy word in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and a sign which is spoken against, yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow even unto 84 years. He departed not from the temple, worshipping with fastings and supplications night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks unto God, and spake of him to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for these histories concerning those events that surrounded the birth of your Son. And thou dost know that some of us have been listening to them as they were read for 60 or 70 years, and we look forward to hearing them every year. We are thankful, our God, for this. We pray from the portion in the scriptures we've read, we shall understand the significance of this reason, and realizing it, shall adjust our thinking. We thank you that we're here this morning, that we have enough help and strength to be here. For those that are sick and are not able to be here, we pray for them. Our Father, for those that want to be here but they're not able, and for those that could be here but are not, our God, we pray for them. But we thank you that we are here, and the word of God is being read, and in thy will, it shall be preached upon in a moment. So bless thy word as it's spoken. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. If I ask you from what you today see all around you and hear, what would you say that the season was brought about for? For whom is Christmas? Now, if you think, you'll say, well, it's for the children. Because it was so funny, last week I was out at the mall, and Santa Claus was sitting on his throne, and children were lined up, 20 children waiting to go and talk to Santa Claus. And when I've been in all the stores, so crowded, you have to stand in line and wait and wait. It's a time for adults to buy gifts, and it's a time for the merchants crying out in their greed, trying to get every dollar from you, one department store after another. And so that is what Christmas signifies, and that is what Christmas means to most people. It's for children, and it's for greedy merchants, and it's for people who are looking for presents and wondering what they can get. And so those are the thoughts that are associated with it about Christmas. But I purposely read you most of the passages that had to do with Christmas. And how many of you heard of any children in the Christmas story? Of course you didn't. Christmas is a time in the Word of God for old people, for the hopeless, for those for whom life holds nothing in the future as far as man is concerned, and also, thank God for this, for the priesthood. Sister, for old people, for hopeless people, for those that have had faith so long that it's never been fulfilled, that's what Christmas is for. Of course it is. Because you haven't read anything about children expecting gifts, have you? About merchants selling things, greed? You say no. And Christmas is not a time of joy for all people, but it's a time of trouble for some people. Did you notice that? When Herod the king heard about the birth of Jesus, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. I said, well, how could that be? Here is a king, and here is Jerusalem, the holy city, and they hear about the birth of the Messiah, and they're troubled. Why so? Because when the Messiah comes, it means that there is going to be a disruption of all the established order. And it means that those who are not rightfully sitting upon the throne shall be put down. And all of those that have positions of authority and lucrative salaries, all of those when the Messiah comes, why, they're going to be destroyed, displaced. You see what the significance of Christmas is? That is why I read you the words in Matthew 19. Our Savior said, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And Christmas is not a time for those that are exalted and those of high degree, but the angels came and made announcements to shepherds that were in the field keeping watch by night over their flock. So rethink Christmas for a moment. Think of anything that we have today that could be fitted into the story that we read in the Word of God. Did you ever read about a Christmas tree? You say, no. Did you ever read about Jesus with glory shining from his face and his father, foster father Joseph, and his mother Mary looking angelic? You say, no. Then Christmas is not anything the way that we think about it. But let me ask you, when I read you these portions, did you read about an old man named Zacharias and his wife, an old woman, who had no hope in life that they would ever have children? He said, yes. Did you read about Anna, and she was over 105 years old? Yes. And Simeon, an old man that was ready to die? He said, yes. Then, Christmas in the Bible is a time for the old and the hopeless, but at the same time, for the faithful that have waited so long that nothing has ever happened. And so you say, so that is the significance. Those are the truths surrounding Christmas. And that is what I want you to understand. And that is why I am so grieved when I see that into which Christmas has been turned. Do you read anywhere of anybody receiving gifts other than Christ? Jesus said, no. Are they brought unto him? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He said, well, he has turned it into something that is not to be found in the Word of God. And if you're talking about gifts, it should be a time when we thank God for his gift. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And so, Christmas is the time when God gave his only begotten Son to sinful men that they might be saved. But we turned it around, and if you left the Lord Jesus out of Christmas, it wouldn't make much difference. Just so you have Santa Claus, and all the bells and the Christmas trees and all the giving and all the increase in selling and buying merchandise, if you have that, it won't make much difference about Jesus. That's the sad thing. It's a time when we should think about what Christmas was, the way that God intended it to be. And now that I am an old man, I understand that Christmas was for people like myself, and if you're old, it's for people like you, that I am going to give you hope. Because Christmas also was for one that was so young, he had not been born. Here was John the Baptist in the womb of his mother, and when Mary saluted Elizabeth, her kinswoman, it says, John the Baptist leaped in her womb. Why? Because he had heard the voice of his Savior. So we have two different classes. We have old ones that have lived their lives, that are about ready to pass off the scene, and we have one that has not as yet been born, that is going to come upon the scene. And so Christmas is a time when God is sending his Son and sending his forerunner, John the Baptist. Here is a time when men shall have a new beginning. It says that when John the Baptist came, he returned the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. It's a time of reconciliation. And I think today more and more about parents and their children, alienation, lack of understanding, children running away from home, children murdering their parents. And yet, if you think about Christmas, it's the time when John the Baptist was to be born, and by his preaching was to unite the father and the mother and their children. Because if you think about it that way, Christmas is a lovely time. For old people, yes. Why? Because I've lived my whole life that I haven't died before the Lord Jesus came into the world, the hope, the desire of all nations. He is here, and I see him. So let's think of those that have not yet been born, who are to come upon the scene and to live and to have their lifetime spent for God or for themselves after these old ones are gone. Because if you're over 105 years old, I do not believe you have much time left to live. And so think, all of these old people, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were so old, they can't have children anymore. And think of Simeon, a man who's been waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise to him, and when he speaks of the Christ child, he speaks about his death. And then you have Anna, 105 years old or more. And so you say, well, all of these are old people. What do they have to do with Christmas? They have everything to do with Christmas, because it is a time of hope and a time of spiritual significance. It is a time, and I'm going to tell it this way, because last week, instead of Jesus working miracles, I told you that Jesus was himself a miracle. And this week, I was going to tell you about Christmas being surrounded by the miraculous and the supernatural. Because if you take away the miraculous and supernatural from this time of the year, then it's nothing that God knows anything about. So think now, I'll tell you that just for a moment. Tell you about the miraculous and the supernatural. I read you about both of them. We would think that if angels suddenly appeared, that would be miraculous. No. A miracle is something that is contrary to the laws of nature. That there is a part of nature of which we know nothing. There is another world as well as this world. And if we believe the word of God, it says that women should be covered because of the angels. And so,
As far as you know and as I know, there are angels here that are observing our order or disorder. You say they are? Yes. And it says in Hebrews that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the heirs of them that shall inherit salvation. You say, well, I'm one of those heirs. So then I do not know when and how often angels have intervened in my life to protect me from danger, to keep me from sin, from harm, neither do you. For this reason, angels may appear or disappear at will, the same with the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. He was in their midst, and then he was made known to them by the breaking of bread, and they were marveling, and suddenly disappeared. So the angels also are realities, even though we cannot see them. So when you read about angels, that is the supernatural. That's all, just the supernatural. When we get to heaven, we'll be in the sphere of the supernatural. That is not the miraculous. Getting there is, that's not the miraculous. But let me tell you what the miracle was. When the angel appeared to Zechariah and was talking to him, that was the supernatural, that's the miraculous. But when Zechariah was made a promise that he was going to have a son, and he said, how can this be? I'm an old man. My wife can't have children anymore. How can this be? Then the angel performed a miracle. He pronounced judgment upon Zechariah, and you'll find he was both deaf and dumb until the day that he wrote down after his son was born, his name is John, and then his tongue is loose. So that an angel is there is not a miracle, that's supernatural. But that an angel supersedes the laws of nature, then that is a miracle. And let me show you something that's so interesting. If I ask you, of all the 35 miracles that are recorded in the Bible that Jesus performed, tell me one miracle upon man that ever was a miracle of judgment. You say he opened the blind eye, he raised up the paralyzed, the man with the withered hand. I can't think of any human being. I remember the fig tree. I said, any judgment upon a man. You say he never pronounced judgment upon a man. This angel comes from heaven, and because Zacharias does not believe him, Gabriel says, this is what is going to happen to you. And so we see that angels have the power to perform miracles. God imparts that to them as well. So isn't that interesting? That when angels are sent to bring good news to the hopeless, because I told you Christmas is the time for the hopeless, here is Zechariah and Elizabeth. And all hope is gone. And he says this, why, we're going to have a child. How can this be? He did not have his heart filled with joy and anticipation and faith when the angel told him. But he said, it can't be. Now, I want you to think at the same time when Gabriel, the same angel, went and spoke to Mary and said, you are going to have a child. I would have thought that she was faithless as well. But God has told us the difference in the heart of Zechariah and in the heart of Mary. That's why I read to you what Elizabeth said concerning Mary. Blessed is she that believes. When the angel said, you're going to have a son, it wasn't that she did not believe, but she believed it, and she simply wanted to know how it's going to take place. When the angel told Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son, his heart was devoid of faith, and he said, how can this be? And so angels know things going on in the heart, and those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, like Elizabeth, know what's going on in the heart of Mary, but so often we do not know. That is why we have to judge righteous judgment. The Lord Jesus said, you look upon the outward judge not according to the outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So think now. Here is Christmas, and it's the time for the hopeless. How long have you prayed for something and then given up because you were praying as long as your wife was able to have children and you were able to be a father, you prayed, but then your wife ceases to be after the manner of women and you are an old man, and so you stop praying. You say, Lord, you know all the years we prayed, you did not give us a child, so all hope is gone. The same thing happened with Jairus' daughter. Jairus said, come down. My daughter is at the point of death. And so the Lord Jesus said, I will come with you. And he went to his home, but before he got to the home, the servant of Jairus said to him, trouble not the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. You see what they thought? As long as she had life, Jesus could do something, but after she's dead, we don't need Jesus anymore. He's useless. He can do nothing. Here are Zacharias and Elizabeth, and as long as they're able to have children, then God can give them children. But after they can no longer have children, then God is not able to do anything for them. But at the time when God walked miracles, and that was the time, beginning with the angel announcing to Zechariah and giving her conception, and throughout the life of Christ, miracles happened. Now, I agree with you. Unless God is going to work a miracle, do not expect it. But at that time, if something was impossible, utterly impossible, if you're praying to God about such a thing, then you should believe. Like this, let me illustrate it once more. When Martha told the Savior, and now I know that anything you ask of God, God will give it to you. Now, my brother Lazarus has died. And so the Lord Jesus goes to the tomb, and he says, take away the stone. And Martha says, no, don't take away the stone. He has begun to decompose. There will be that awful odor and embarrassment. And so the Lord Jesus said, still I must say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And so here is one that says, I'm praying for you to do something. And so Jesus says, I'll do it for you. But when he says that, they say, you can't do anything for us now. They said it concerning Jairus' daughter. They said it concerning Lazarus. And I read to you that Zechariah said it to the angel. How can this thing be? But Christmas is a time for those that are hopeless, and I think of this, who we are so tiny, it seems as if people will never come, we wonder why, we can't think of any sin that's in us, but if it's a time of hopelessness, then it's a time for us. And can God turn things around, and can God give an increase? You and I are liable to think, well, he could, but I don't think he will. Let us remember that Zacharias and Elizabeth were hopeless. But at Christmas time, God sent Gabriel and he said, you're going to have a child. Let's remember that. And also, in the case of some, it may be that they're going to bring into the world those that can enjoy the future, but those that do, that they are the age of Zacharias and Elizabeth, their child will live and carry on, but there's not much for them, but it really doesn't matter. If I know that there is now the supernatural, heaven, angels, and Zacharias had known it by faith his whole life long, but when he saw an angel for the first time, he was troubled, because the supernatural upset him. But then he learned that there was the supernatural, and that the things that he had believed by faith were in fact reality. And I want you to understand that. You've never seen an angel,
He's never seen heaven. He's never had a revelation from God inspired like those that have given us the scriptures. And so you say, well, I wonder. At Christmas time, those things that were invisible became visible, and those things that were hopeless, they suddenly became reality. And also, it was a time for old ones that were ready to leave the scene to have their hearts filled with joy and gladness before they left. So that might be what God has for us. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they did not live long to see their son develop. But at least they know he's there. And in like manner, it could be for us. So for some, it's like this. When Israel sinned, and Joshua, and those that were 20 years and above, they had to wander 40 years in the wilderness, and then they died. But their children had been born, and even though judgment had fallen upon them, the children lived on and enjoyed honest life. So, it's a time for old people, but not old people filled with despondency and hopelessness, but those that are filled with hopelessness suddenly to have their hearts filled with hope, knowing that their children, rather than seeing judgment to fall and a world crumbling, it may be that a John the Baptist shall be born and that a Lord Jesus shall be born, and good things are ahead. So we think Christmas and remember it's a time entirely unlike what man has made. Time is gone, let's go. Now, Father, we're so glad that the song should be sing at least, the old ones, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Oh, come, let us adore him. Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. We are thankful, our God, for all these things. We are thankful that there are those that talk like Zechariah, that they speak words that are faithless, and the angel rebukes them, and in spite of their faithlessness, he says, you're still going to have a son. And we are thankful that there are those who speak words of faith, like Simeon. And so, our God, we are thankful that you overlook all that we are and do good things for us in spite of that. So help us to understand the significance of Christmas and let us see what it should mean and let it mean that to us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.